Vold Financial Group.
All right, it is hour two of your Friday edition of Justice and Drew, your roundtable edition. We have one leg of the roundtable in studio, and that would be Brian McDaniel from Wrong About Everything.
Morning, guys.
Brian Miller, comedian, will be joining us shortly. 651-989-5855 is the phone number if you want to take part in the program at any time, or you can use #250 on any mobile device and just say TCNT.
On this snow-melting Friday, we are very pleased to welcome, as we do on Fridays, Representative Tom Emmer. Lots to talk about. Good morning, sir. How are we doing this morning?
Doing great, John. Listen, I hope your neighbor's got that big enough duck boat to fit you and your whole family in next week when this snow starts melting.
The streets around my house look like rivers.
Yeah.
And the water's just flowing down them like they look like small rivers.
We live in a frozen Venice now, apparently.
Well, there's a gondola to get to work.
Here's the good news. It's going to wash out all the debris from Minnesota and send it right down to Texas. So I think we're good for the spring.
Yeah, we've got an odd dynamic going on because where our house is located in relation to the sun, like the neighbors across the street, like all their yards are almost like all the snow's gone and we still have got like 3 feet in front of our yard. So we've got a little ways to go before it starts flooding. Let's start off here real quick. Emmer, have reintroduced some legislation to ensure the rights for law-abiding gun purchasers. We were, and not to totally sort of bring the two together, but we were talking this morning about that horrific shooting that took place in New Zealand and just sort of discussing, you know, the individuals being able to go and defend themselves in various circumstances. And so this is the topic of gun rights is certainly going to be a top of mind for a little while now.
Yeah, but you got to be careful. I mean, that's a tragic incident, obviously, in New Zealand. Apparently, from some indications, it is an Australian who masterminded or carried out the evil action. But, you know, people who want to make this Second Amendment issue the issue, and it's all about the object that we're talking about, the gun itself. I mean, first, they neglect that when you have some of these incidents, there are major mental health issues, which if it's not a gun, it's going to be a truck or it's going to be some other method of delivering the evil act that they want to deliver. Second, you got to go back just a few years to, I believe it's Norway, is one of the countries with one of the most extreme limitations on the citizen's ability to own a firearm. And if I'm not mistaken, I didn't go back and look this morning because I didn't expect you to ask it quite this way, but it got me to thinking there was an evil act where you're not supposed to be able to get a hold of guns, and yet some guy got them and went out to some camp and killed a whole bunch of young kids and others. So you got to be careful with these shiny objects, I think, John, where,
sure,
okay, look, it's a gun, it's this and that. No, no. Evil people and people who are sick are going to find a way to do. We need to do a better job of identifying those people and taking care of them before they act. Mm. Now, when we get to firearms, there's a Second Amendment in this country that's supposed to, again, recognize the liberty of the individual, the rights of the individual in a free society. And one of them that our founders thought was important was the ability to protect oneself and to own a firearm. I reintroduced this week, the Firearm Due Process Protection Act, because our government has a problem. Some of us believe that you have a Second Amendment, that's all you need, but the government has put some restrictions on, you know, background checks and things that you need to do to make sure, and, you know, that is what we have our government for, is it this debate over what is the balance between personal liberty and safety within society. So that's fine. But when someone gets denied the right to have a firearm wrongly, there has to be due process so that they can get their rights restored. And that, in a nutshell, if you want me to go through the details, I can. But that's what it is. Each year, the federal government in this country denies thousands of law-abiding Americans the right to purchase a firearm because the government made an error in identifying these people. That's what we're trying to solve.
So in your release here, it says, in order to protect the constitutional liberties of Americans, they should be given the ability to enforce their rights if the FBI does not act on an appeal within the deadline. In addition, for the sake of transparency and oversight, Congress and America and the American people should have access to the statistics regarding the total number and nature of appeals. This has been reintroduced. What's your gauge on the type of support you expect it to get?
Well, I'm going to have a little problem with the new socialists in the House.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, but the this is more this year. Kind of a parallel track because we need to work with the administration itself to solve a problem that was created under the Obama administration. Under the Obama administration, they just ignored these things. In my opinion, they just, they threw them into the file and they let them sit there. And so law-abiding Americans, through no fault of their own, who had been denied, really had no avenue to get this thing resolved. And what we're trying to do, again, you file the same bill, you raise the discussion, you show them that you're serious about pursuing it, and you work with the administration to get agencies like the FBI to be responsive and do what we expect them to do.
Want to move on to a topic we covered in Sam's Top 5 a little bit ago, the symbolic and unanimous vote to urge the Mueller report to be made public. What was your thought process as this was being introduced and getting ready to vote to be voted on here?
It doesn't do anything,
right?
That's what we want to know. What does it do?
Some people listening are so. Then why did you vote for it? Well, because this is called childish gotcha politics. Chuck Schumer came up with this over on the Senate side, tried to get it through on a voice vote. It got denied because it didn't get through on a voice vote. Somebody objected to it. It got called to a vote because there's an additional piece in it that would require the hiring a new independent counsel to invest the independent counsel, Mueller, in how he did his work. First off, guys, I don't agree with, never agreed with appointing a special prosecutor to this thing. I thought it was a mistake. As we've now seen 2 years of this witch hunt, it just is a waste of resources, something the Justice Department easily could have addressed without incurring all of this, not only financial investment, but the media circus that has come along with it for 2 years as this administration has tried to move forward. And it's about to be released. The reason you vote for it is, one, we're not against making something public. We'll put it out there. But the law leaves that up to the Attorney General, and that's Mr. Barr. William Barr will decide whether or not to release it. Totally up to him, but it was a nothing thing, and it's like it's more gotcha politics. That's what you're dealing with, and that's not what the American people appreciate. So we voted for it. We moved on. It's over, and now we have another, I would say, nothing burger, and that's, another symbolic vote since it'll be vetoed on the emergency declaration. So they just keep coming.
But you mentioned, it's going to be up to Attorney General Barr, but that's not even entirely the case because there are laws already in place that dictate what he can release and what he can't. Am I correct in that?
Yeah. Well, you're right. The special counsel regulations protect certain materials,
sure,
including classified and grand jury information. So there are things, you're right, Andrew, if you dive into the weeds, you will never, because by law, certain things will not be released, and that's not his choice. But what he can release, that's what I understood we were voting on, and it's
okay.
Again, it doesn't change a thing. It's totally up to him. Keep in mind, they spent $25 million on this investigation by the end of last year.
If the investigation yields nothing of real significance, right? And can we pass a bill that says all the people that were urging for this have to reimburse?
Can we charge them,
the federal government, for this?
Well, ICE issue IOUs.
Here's what, by the way, guys. Here's what should tell you that this is a nothing report, despite Adam Schiff, you know, greasy little Adam Schiff that's out there every day. I mean, which, by the way, I'll start to give you some information. Adam Schiff is right in the middle of this thing, and Adam Schiff might actually be, he's going to run into some potential issues with his involvement in the original dossier and all of this stuff. But we'll save that for another day. I think what shows us that there's just nothing there is Nancy Pelosi coming out earlier this week saying, we're not going to do any impeachment.
Right. Yeah,
there's
absolutely.
There's nothing there. She's telling you there's nothing in the report. And by the way, tell me how the Democrats seem to know everything coming out of the Mueller investigation before it comes out.
I know. I feel like there is a group text chat with like the key players on the left and Mueller, where they're just texting back and forth all the information. Like I'm waiting for the special investigation into that. Getting back to something that you mentioned a moment ago, the Senate did join the House in voting to terminate President Trump's border emergency. The president's promised to veto. You mentioned symbolism again. Where is this going now? And do you think there's going to be any sort of long term ramifications for those Republicans that voted against this in the Senate that might be, you know, the diehard Trump supporters that are upset?
No, I don't. It depends on how they message it, John. But there's going to be a debate, and I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. There's going to be an ongoing debate. I, like many of my colleagues, we did not like turning, or I shouldn't say turning. We didn't appreciate the executive acting like a monarch when President Obama was in office and using the pen to legislate. We feel the same way, by the way, when it comes to President Trump. The Democrats are trying to make this emergency declaration issue look like it's an Obama-style monarchy as opposed to what it really is, which is, years before I got in Congress, Congress actually delegated certain authorities to the executive, certain emergency powers, which executives long before Donald Trump have been using in very interesting ways because the law allows them to do it. In fact, I brought up, I think, a couple weeks back, the example of the country that George W. Bush once, I think it was Liberia, that he had an emergency declaration because the Liberian dictator was selling timber and taking the proceeds from the timber and buying weapons to use on his own people. That was an emergency declaration, and that fit within the law, the delegated powers that Congress gave to the executive for this type of action. Interestingly, and by the way, if we're going to have a debate about giving the executive too much authority, I agree with that, and maybe we should redo the legislation, that the Emergency Powers Act, that gives the executive this kind of authority. The one thing I will add that's really interesting in this certain circumstance, this is the first president who has used the Emergency Powers Declaration, as I understand it, to protect Americans and the American homeland, the U.S. homeland, versus trying to use it against another country. So, no, I don't think so, John. At the end of the day, this debate's going to be ongoing about executive power, because someday there'll be a Democrat in the office. And I think the non-socialists all agree that the executive, it should not be ruling like a monarch.
Yeah.
That, the power should come from the actual elected Senate and House.
I would welcome, and I would very much be in support of, you know, having that conversation at the congressional level of revising, reforming the Emergency Powers Act, and, you know, get Congress to actually do their job. You know, I mean, part of the problem is that for the last several decades, you know, too many in Congress have happily been willing to cede their power to the president, because then they don't have to be accountable. They don't have to be accountable for their vote. They don't have to be accountable for their action or inaction on any particular issue, when they can just let the president, you know, craft an executive order or make an emergency declaration or whatever it may be. I mean, this is not unique to Trump, and this is something that has been going on down and getting worse by administration after administration after administration. One of my hopes for the Trump administration would be that they would do that, and they would not rule via executive order as much as previous administrations have. And there have been efforts by Trump to sort of force Congress's hand and get them to do their job, you know, the letting the DACA expire and saying, look, Congress, you know, if you want this DACA status to be, you know, if you want some permanent fix to this, you guys have to come up with a solution and get it on my desk. So hopefully that's a conversation that we can have and see happen going forward.
Andrew, you know, your last example, I couldn't agree with you more, and it's the best example, the issue on DACA. Because if you'll remember, I think it was September of 2017 when the president, actually undid the executive order, the directive by the previous president. And he said exactly that. You guys fix it and bring me the solution. But what you left out is he also said, and if you don't, I will. Mm-hmm. Now, it's funny. We're here a couple of years later. He has not done that. And I think it shows you that there is restraint in the White House from trying to act, trying to subvert the constitutional underpinnings of our republic, you know, in terms of balance of the executive to the legislative branch. And I don't think he gets enough credit for that.
Representative Tom Emmer, always enjoy our Friday chats. Thanks for giving us some time this morning. Have a wonderful weekend. Try to stay dry.
We'll be wearing the waders. Have a good weekend.
All right, take care.
I don't know if you guys noticed, but there's a Brian Miller in studio.
I saw him walk in.
Sup, dude?
How's it going?
It's going good. How about you?
I'm back.
You guys fired up, ready for the news quiz this week?
I haven't seen the news for like 4 days.
So. You're probably bode well.
Good. It works for Corey.
These are your contestants, producer Sam, Brian Miller, Brian McDaniel will play the news quiz at 8:35. Go ahead and start using Twitter now to get your predictions and use the hashtag TCNT. Otherwise, we may not see it. Who you think's going to win the quiz, and we will have some fantastic prizes lined up for whoever gets it right.
All right. So here's what we have coming up. We're going to answer the question of whether or not flipping off a police officer is free speech. We have a definitive answer in that regard.
Definitive?
At least according to this court.
I can tell you what happened to me.
We'll talk potholes, because this is really bad outside right now. And I have amazing news from the world of science, right? Apparently, guys, lady, we can start growing back body parts.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Wait, growing back?
Well, yeah, if you lose one.
Oh, you got to lose one first.
You got to lose one first.
See, what about spares?
Yeah, I'd like an extra thumb.
Yeah, no, you got to lop it off.
Thinking small.
You know. I think this is good news for Sam. It's something happened.
That's true.
She's the first one.
She's the most prone out of all of us.
Yeah, you can grow back an arm.
Start farming that collarbone.
651-989-5855 is the
1130.
Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM, Justice Andrew, along with Sam and the Friday Roundtable.
Brian McDaniel, Brian Miller, and these are your contestants for the Friday News Quiz coming up at 8:35.
So, a woman gets stopped. That's out of the Washington Post. A woman gets stopped for speeding. Okay. Cop shows her mercy. Okay. Shows mercy, gives her a ticket for a non-moving violation. Okay.
Sure.
All right. Police officer pulls away. The woman then gives him the finger. Or as the U.S. District Court puts it, flips him the bird. Okay.
That's the legal term.
Cop takes offense, switches his lights back on, along with the sirens, and stops her again. Okay. It says here, plowing into her car in the process. So I don't know what that was involved with. On top of that, changing the original ticket to a moving violation. So he exacted some cop vengeance.
Well, what's her name?
What is her name?
Yeah,
her name is let's see, Deborah Lee Cruz.
Oh, yeah. I was like, there's no way this is not a middle-aged white woman. That is a total middle-aged white lady move. Any man who think who might be punched in the face or any minority is going to be like, no, you shouldn't do that. But middle-aged white lady is going to be like, oh, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
I'm a mom.
Yep.
So there I was. Apple Valley, Minnesota. Red light. Turns green.
I'm not paying attention. Guy next to me honks his horn and gives me a look like, go.
Yeah.
I flip him off. He flips on his lights.
Oh, no.
He flipped you on.
He flipped on.
Did you not notice he was in a cop car, or was he in an unmarked?
It was an unmarked car.
Oh, wow.
It was one of those Mustangs or whatever.
That's entrapment.
Pulls me over, and I just looked at him. I said, well, this is the dumbest thing anyone did today, huh? He's like, yep. I was not shown mercy. I was given a talk about road rage.
Wow.
Did you get a citation at all?
I did get a citation.
Really?
A citation for what?
Improper use of your middle finger?
I don't know if it was like inattentive driving. It was something like that.
You didn't have two hands on the wheel?
Something like that. But he was not amused and was not. My contrition bought me nothing.
I don't think they get to factor the cop thing in if they're unmarked and aren't clearly a cop. It's like if you're in a bar fight and some guy pops off and you punch him in the face. Okay, that's bad. But that's not assaulting an officer if it turns out the guy's a cop. If he's wearing his hat. You know, he's swinging a billy club and being Irish, and you punch him, well, okay, you know.
Hey, now. So Debbie decided to sue the officer for violating her constitutional rights.
Oh, Debbie.
So the question is, did he? Okay. That question was plucked from everyday life in the town of Taylor, Michigan, confronted the U.S. Court of Appeals in the Sixth Circuit for the case of Deborah Lee Cruz versus Matthew Wayne Menard, in which Cruz and the cop says, and the motorist, and the Menard was the cop. Okay, normally in cases like this, it doesn't get very far, okay, but... As the officer told the Washington Post, she was very unhappy because according to her, the area that she was pulled over in June of 2017, about 18 miles southwest of Detroit, was a notorious speed trap for the Taylor Police Department. Well, if that's the case, then why were you not obeying the law? Yeah, I mean, I think that's the side part from the flipping off part of him getting pulled over again.
There is a town in Florida called Waldo, Florida. And
where?
It is a where notorious,
is it?
Or at least it was.
See what I did there?
Do I get a point on the news quiz for slightly beating Brian to that punchline? I might lose a point.
A notorious speed trap, and it was on a highway, you know, one of those interstate highway, not interstate, but a state highway, where, you know, you're going 55, 60, 65 miles an hour, and then you start to get a little closer to Waldo, and it drops down to 40, drops down to 35. And if you're going 37 through that town, they would pull you over and they would give you a ticket. I mean, that's what this town was known for. So, yeah, if you know this, if it's a notorious speed trap, that's kind of on you. To make sure you don't speed when you're going through there.
Yeah.
But if you do, you got caught, man.
By the way, side note, Notorious Speed Trap is my favorite rapper from the 90s.
So you can't flip a cop off. Can you do that cool Italian thing where you like slap the bottom of your chin? You know, hey.
Or the Friends sort of, you know.
Yeah.
So the officer went to the appeals court claiming immunity from the suit, arguing that even if he did violate her rights, which he did not admit to doing, those rights were not clearly established. The judge, though, writing for a unanimous three-judge panel, disagreed. While suggesting the woman was a bit ungrateful, the second stop was not reasonable, and the officer should have known it. To justify the second stop, he wrote, the cop needed probable cause that she had committed a violation. He didn't have it. Giving the finger is not a crime. That all-too-familiar gesture, as he put it, is protected by the First Amendment. Pretty interesting.
I support that.
Yeah.
It should be. Also, by the way, all traffic cops, you should know we're all flipping you off in our minds.
Yeah.
All the time.
I think we've just established that I'm a terrible lawyer.
By the way, since there was no reason to believe she broke the law, he also violated her Fourth Amendment protection against unreasonable seizure when he pulled her over again. Fits of rudeness or lack of gratitude may violate the golden rule. But does that even exist? We like nuked the golden rule, right?
Also, you can't do the golden rule with a cop because you can't give him a ticket if you're mad at him.
That's true, yeah.
It's a one-way street.
But that doesn't make them illegal or, for that matter, punishable for that matter, grounds for seizure. The case now goes back up to the U.S. District Court for further proceedings. So, flip away.
Well, it should be protected speech.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look, you know, cops are citizens too. They don't, you know, they're not granted special status where you have to be kinder or more friendly or, you know, to treat them any differently than you would treat anybody else. They're not granted, you know, a special status in terms of just behavior and politeness. You're allowed to be rude to a cop.
How often
you shouldn't worry about you're going to get arrested by being rude to a cop.
You probably shouldn't do it.
No, it's not.
Definitely falls under anybody. Yeah, definitely falls under the category of you should be able to, but probably don't.
So I know that Sam isn't one to use like profanity. Okay,
am I getting called out right now?
No, not at all. I'm just curious if you've ever, because I'm pretty sure we've all used the finger.
Yeah, we have learned she uses it in her head a lot.
Well, yeah,
what profanity?
But I'm just wondering if you've ever exercised your First Amendment privilege of your middle finger in a legitimate like way, not joking.
So I admitted to you guys last week, I think you already know the answer to this question. I don't really swear.
Right. I don't think I've ever.
Yeah, I don't think you guys have ever heard me swear.
I have legitimately offered her money to do it.
Drew has too.
She will not do it.
One thing I will do, though, is if you're a scumbag driver, I will flip you off.
Okay. Yeah. That's my girl. I like it. Well, that's the thing, too. It's like, it's all the middle finger really means is, I'm angry at you. I don't like that you did that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not really articulate, but it's a quick signal. We don't have, I always thought we should have like a flashing light on our car that should be like, I don't like your traffic move. Because I don't necessarily want to project obscenity to somebody, but I want them to know that I don't like what they just did.
You ever get flipped off and have no idea?
Yep.
Yes.
Why?
Surprisingly often.
Yes. It happened to me not that long ago. I'm driving down one of the roads near my house in Eden Prairie. I was minding my own business. I was going the speed limit. I wasn't going excessively slow or excessively fast. I had my blinker on, pulled into the left turn lane. And it's one of those where you got the double left turn lane. And as the light turned green and I start to turn, this guy drives past me and just, I mean, yells, finger out the window.
Oh, now that's aggressive when the hand leaves the car.
Yes. Out the window with a yell. I couldn't tell.
Did he shake it at you?
No, there was no shake.
The shake is about as far as you can go. When you shake it, that means business.
I was so confused. I mean, I actually like stopped the car and like, what just happened? What did I do?
I think he's offended by your "I love Lori Loughlin" bumper sticker.
Well, I do love Lori Loughlin.
Oh yeah, I do.
I had one of the biggest mysteries. Exactly the same thing. I was driving to work one day, super early in the morning, and I know for certain the person was nowhere near me. There was nobody else on the road. Okay, and out of nowhere, this white small pickup truck with a bunch of pool supplies in the back, right, comes up and is just, I mean, like a middle finger beacon. Just could not display it any harder. And then just kept like driving around me and getting in front of me and slowing down. Oh, I have no idea why. The only thing that I can think of is that at the time I had a huge 88 on the back window of the car. That he was just not a Junior fan. Because I have no other explanation as to why. It still bothers me
beyond
to this day.
Just not being a Junior fan.
actively
hates.
Yeah. It was very weird. One day, I hope when I die, I get the answer.
Yeah, I want to know what I did to that guy.
I know. It still bothers me.
Well, because if I do a bad traffic, if I screw up, oh, I forgot to signal or whatever, I always do the ooh.
Yeah,
The little wave and the face, you know, the scrunch face.
Sorry.
Sorry. Which I always accept from anyone, too, by the way. Anybody gives me the I'm sorry posture.
Acceptable traffic currency.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I used to use the, on the Zuzu Rodeo, there's a, the back window has a wiper on it. Right, I would use that as my thank you all the time. So, like,
yes, thank you.
If somebody did something, I would go, oh, and I do it, zhing, zhing. You know, I would say, hey, we're good. I
mean, it was a sunny day, and you gave me the one back wiper. Yeah, I'd be like, oh, that was a little wave.
Hey, a little wave. Like, somebody let me in somewhere, you know, doing the zipper move. I'd be like, hey, here's a little.
Well, I'm saying thank you.
What if you put like a little hand on there with a finger up, and if somebody got your hand, oh, there you go.
If I'm driving and somebody is like road raging, flipping me off or something, I just flip them off right back. Screw those people.
Wow.
I hate people that are jerky drivers.
Coming up, every spring brings potholes, but it's really bad this year. One hole is actually truck size. We will dive into this and talk more with the roundtable coming up on Justice and Drew.
Hello. 3.5 FM.
Be sure to use the hashtag TCNT to let us know who you think is going to win the Friday news quiz coming up 1 hour from now. Producer Sam, Brian McDaniel, or Brian Miller, your opportunity to win fabulous prizes from Twin Cities News Talk and Justice and Drew.
Yeah, we've got tickets to the State Farm College Slam Dunk and Three-Point Championships happening at Target Field Thursday, April 4th at 8 p.m. That helps tip off, obviously, the big Final Four weekend happening here in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
To quote George Costanza, you can't stop science. Can't stop it. Humans may one day have the ability to regrow limbs after scientists at Harvard have uncovered the DNA switch that controls genes for whole body regeneration.
It's amazing. Why can't they grow hair back?
Yeah, you know, you wonder. That's a great point.
I think you're just going to have to grow a new head.
Yeah.
Start from scratch.
Yeah.
So some animals can achieve the extraordinary feats of repair. Salamanders can grow back legs. Geckos, which can shed their tails to escape predators and form new ones in just a few months. 2 months, actually. So scientists have discovered in worms a section of non-coding or junk DNA controls the activation of the master control gene.
They need flashbacks. So they need fancier names for this stuff. We found some junk DNA in the master control. You're like,
right?
What?
Yeah. It's called
use Latin.
Early growth response, EGR, which acts like a power switch, turning regeneration on or off. So it turns out studies were done. They did them first in worms, but they say that humans also carry the same EGR. So they did it. They did this in worm studies. Scientists found that during regeneration, the tightly packed DNA in their cells starts to unfold, allowing for new areas to activate. We also carry EGR and produce it when cells are stressed and in need of repair. Yet it does not seem to trigger large scale regeneration. Scientists now think that that the master gene is wired differently in humans to animals, and they're now trying to find a way to tweak its circuitry to allow us to regrow our limbs.
That seems like a disaster waiting to happen.
It's literally how the lizard is created in the Spider-Man comic
books. Really is. It is literally.
This is literally what it is.
Lizard origin story.
Yes.
In Spider-Man.
Amazing Spider-Man, the Mark Webb version with the first. Andrew Garfield.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's a warning to us all.
Yeah. I don't know that I'm crazy about, you know, tweaking the wiring of our genes and cells in order to get them to do things that they're not supposed to.
Says Mr. Four Limbs with his limb privilege.
Yeah, maybe we could all be like Deadpool.
Find me a gambler who's lost some really dire bets, and I'll show you a guy who needs to regrow a couple of digits.
Yakuza no longer.
If we figure this out, I'm like, knowing how humanity works and just how stupid we are. Like, I imagine just like gross out YouTube videos. It's like, check it out, chop.
Yeah,
time lapse of growing the hand back. You know,
that'll be the new body modification. You know, it's like see the guy with fingers on his ears. You're never gonna get a job with fingers on your ears. You have to work at the mall.
Fingers on your ears. I want the other opposable thumb. I want opposable thumbs on the other side of my hands.
Sure,
I think that would be really. That would be very convenient.
Then they would be truly opposable if you think about it.
Exactly.
Plus, then Inigo Montoya could search for you.
Yeah.
And you can do like tag team thumb wrestling.
You can thumb wrestle yourself.
Wow. Thumb wrestle yourself. Well, the day just fills itself up that way.
I don't think that you guys are using the gifts the science has given you to their fullest abilities.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you hear the part about thumb wrestling yourself?
Yeah.
I feel like you missed that part.
Did I miss that part?
My wife would agree with you. All right. So potholes are bad. Months before the season of big fish stories comes the warm-up, a chance to practice the hyperbole with potholes, except this year the hype appears to be all too real, according to the Pioneer Press. Jerry Ogg Jr., who's been the Ramsey County's maintenance engineer for 5 years, lived in the Twin Cities his entire life, says, I think this year is the worst that I've ever seen. On Larpenteur Avenue, there was
one
pothole so big, the county had to park a truck in it to make sure that no more cars hit it. By the time they arrived, 3 cars were already idling on the side of the road. Ooh. After hitting the pothole.
And just want to reiterate, they had to park a truck in it.
In it.
Yeah. Not like over it, not in front of it, you know, in it.
It was 8 inches deep and half the size of a pickup truck. calling the whole atypical.
It's an insult where I come from. You don't call someone's whole atypical.
Lisa Hybert, spokesperson for St. Paul Public Works, says, we've got all the right ingredients for the perfect pothole recipe. So that recipe, Sam, you were talking about it earlier, that includes rain, freezing temps, thaw, rinse, repeat. And then you add on top of that all the plowing that took place, and it just, you know, it just all that weight just rumbles and tears up the road.
What if we put some of that junk DNA in the street so the potholes can regenerate themselves?
Oh, I like that idea. Uh-huh. I always get frustrated with this, though, because I, you know, I'm a big NASCAR guy, and, you know, they've had portions of track come up. They get it fixed in like 15 minutes. Like huge portions of it. They
That's interesting.
Some of that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they do have a method of going around and filling these in quickly. I've already seen some in my area up in Blaine. But the lifespan of the hot patch, they call it, is only about 2 or 3 days.
Yeah. No, the potholes are incredibly bad this season so far. It's just going to get worse with this type of weather that we're getting. All this rain and these, you know, kind of mild, like warm enough to melt the snow temperatures combined with all the rain that we're getting. And I was in St. Paul Wednesday night. I had to go to St. Paul, and I swear, you know, it was driving down the streets in St. Paul. You know, I felt like I was on a dirt road. I felt like I was on a really, really bad dirt road. I felt like it was not somewhere where a car is not supposed to be. Dirt road.
Yeah, St. Paul.
Exactly. And then yesterday, you know, as I'm wrapping up, I've finished up the news quiz and I'm just sitting down. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do a little prep for Friday's show. Got the news quiz done. I can work on Friday's show and then I'll be done with my day and I can chill out and enjoy the rest of the day. Play God of War all afternoon. My son comes upstairs and says, you know, there's no food in the house. I'm hungry, you know.
Colin is how old again?
19.
Yeah, that's not his thing. I was like, dude, I'm hungry. Yeah, you're 19.
I know. That's pretty much exactly what I said.
Here's a bow and arrow.
And finally, just to sort of get him out of my business. I was like, well, here, you know, I'll give you $10 because he's broke right now. So I'll give you $10. You want to run and you want to go get something to eat. You know, go get some Taco Bell or whatever. So he was all excited, you know. So I gave him $10 and he leaves and I'm like, oh, get the house to myself for a little while and chill out, you know, and start doing some work. 5 minutes later, I get a FaceTime from Colin. Not a call, a FaceTime. Oh, something's wrong. Unless he's like butt FaceTiming me.
and butt time.
He's butt timing me. And so I answer it and I turn it on and the video screen pops on. And it's not Colin's face. It's not my son's lovely, you know, adoring, wonderful little face. No, it's a flat tire. And he's got the phone pointed at the tire. Dad, I hit a pothole.
I am so sorry to hear that your son's immaturity interfered with your video game playing.
Right? Yeah. It's a real tragedy.
$10, get out of the house.
I want to play God of War.
And see how my new thumb works out.
Oh, there you go. That's for gamers. The second thumb would really be an advantage.
Did you see the offending, the atypical hole?
No, I did not. Because he hit it, and obviously he didn't realize it. You know, it didn't like immediately. Yeah. You know, it wasn't until he was about a mile away when he realized, oh, my tire's flat. So I got to spend the rest of the afternoon confirming that my AAA membership was indeed active and worked, and dealing with getting him a tow truck and
no spare.
There was a spare, but there was no jack in the car. Mm. I mean, we will have to remedy
once we've reached the dad. I'm hungry. 19-year-old thing. I don't know that the whole car repair on the side of the road thing is on the menu.
I don't want to plug something that's not paying to be plugged. But I got AAA. There hasn't been 1 year where it hasn't been worth it because it's cheap enough that if you have to use it once
a year,
yeah. it is worth it.
Yeah.
Was the rim bent, or is it just that it just blew the tire?
Just the tire.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I destroyed a rim once driving over a 2x4.
So that was really, I think that qualifies as my most expensive trip to Taco Bell ever.
Wow.
You could have actually saved money by filling up the pothole with tacos from Taco Bell. It probably would only cost like $15.
Usually, you know, the people who spend more at Taco Bell are affiliated with Big Marijuana.
Yeah, and you get a, you gotta like to spend like a lot of Taco Bell. You're bringing home, putting in the car a lot of food.
Right.
Yeah.
So I didn't see him. You know, he waited at the car for the tow truck and everything. And I didn't bother. You know, I wasn't gonna go get him because they would have to turn around and go right back and all that. So we got the car to the shop and they started working on it. Said it was gonna take a couple hours. So I went to the shop to pick him up. He hadn't eaten the Taco Bell.
Oh, so what? He had acquired the Taco Bell.
Why didn't he eat it while he was waiting?
He sat in the car for like 40 minutes waiting for the
tow
truck.
Yeah, man, you eat the Taco Bell.
Now he's got cold Taco Bell.
And he's hungry. And
he's eating it in my car.
What?
I'm like, no. You're not getting Taco Bell.
Right.
My car.
Yeah. Serious. Weird.
Why? That is super weird. He sat next to tacos and didn't eat them?
Get him on the phone. With Taco
get him
Bell.
On the phone. I want to know why you didn't eat Taco Bell.
I actually, like, every aspect of the story, out of every aspect of the story, that is what I question the most.
100% with you.
The reason I could never do hard drugs is because I know I don't have a lot of self-discipline. Because have you ever been picking up a pizza and had to wait for a train at train tracks? Oh, there's no way that box is staying closed. There's no way.
The only thing I can think of is if he was, like, indeed, like, so broken up about it that he lost his appetite, right? How'd that happen?
He couldn't eat through the tears.
He just, I don't eat the bottle. I can't eat the Taco Bell because I'm not hungry. I lost my appetite. I feel so bad.
My favorite way to eat Taco Bell is when I'm crying.
That's what it's made for. That's why there's so much flour involved. It soaks everything up.
New Taylor Swift song, you know, Tears in My Chalupa.
I mean, the only, if it wasn't because of his tears, the only thing that I could think of that would maybe stop him is if he wasn't sure at what second that the tow truck was going to show up. He didn't want to be like mid-burrito or whatever.
I don't know. You can put down Taco Bell so fast.
No, you can't.
The only reason if I was asking for a ride from Taco John. Like, that would be untoward to be eating Taco Bell in front from Taco John.
I do want to mention, since you brought it up, that the great Taco Wars of Blaine still continue.
Yeah.
Both establishments are still there.
Huh.
They put a Taco Bell right across the street from Taco John's.
Oh yeah, that's a gauntlet thrown down.
You could throw a burrito from one to the wow. other, but they're still thriving.
I want to see the employees like get into a like a West Side Story dance off
right there in the middle of the street.
I used to have very strong opinions about Taco John's versus Taco Bell.
You used to?
I don't care. But when I went to college,
then you realized I'm an adult.
Well, but
so now you'll shove anything into your atypical hole.
My God. No, when I went to Mankato for college, they only had a Taco John's at first, and I was unimpressed. But then eventually we got a Taco Bell.
The only thing I can think of that they'll be fine is because Taco John's does offer enough variety where I think there will be people that, you know, who may be inclined to sort of drawn to the Bell will still stick with the John's just because, you know, you can get the taters.
I was at potatoes. That's the X factor.
Those things are so good.
Yeah.
All right. So this fits, and we'll get to this coming up. Hennepin County prosecutor won't charge people caught with small amounts of marijuana.
Woo!
I here's the thing. Here's the thing.
That doesn't apply to me because you said small.
Right. Well, here's the question that I have is that I get there's nothing to indicate this in the story, but I get the sense that this is in some way in response to the legislature shooting down the recreational marijuana. I feel like maybe we can get into more of it coming up. If that is indeed the case, I feel like it would have been a better move to do it prior while the bill was still sort of moving through to kind of set a precedent that, hey, if the Hennepin County attorney was on board with it, then, you know, decriminalize small amounts and then maybe that helps with the legislature. We'll get into that. Plus, this story that I'm really looking forward to before the news quiz, the potential of a new nightmare for Minneapolis.
Yes.
A mayor of the night.
Yes.
Oh,
apparently,
no.
Jacob Frey can only be mayor during the day.
Oh.
They went like a party, like a nighttime party.
I don't know what's worse, a second Jacob Frey or L.A. Nick is agitating for attention again.
The new nightmare.
Jacob Frey wants to be the Batman.
Could be a dream for downtown nightlife. I can't say that without saying nightmare.
I know. It's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Nightmare.
Yeah. You were pronouncing it correctly.
Plus, your chance to win tickets to the State Farm College Slam Dunk and 3-Point Championships at the Target Center, Minneapolis, Thursday, April 4th. All you got to do is correctly predict who you think is going to win the news quiz. Brian McDaniel, Brian Miller, or producer Sam Sansevier. Everyone who is correct will be in a drawing for those tickets. That